Amen. Amen. And so, I don't know how much inspiration it'll be tonight, but it will be information. And we need all of that for a healthy church and a healthy people. Amen. And so, get ready for some information that will help you with your salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so while you're standing and preparing and getting ready, we will have CDs prepared. And this might be one that you would like to have in your archives, because we're going to be talking about doctrine. Thank God for the Spirit. Thank God for the Spirit. Because the Spirit draws, and there's nobody that loves to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth like I do. Amen. The Spirit will draw you, but the doctrine will hold you. And tonight we're going to talk some doctrine. Tonight we're going to talk some doctrine. Amen. We're not going to talk philosophy. We're not going to talk about how many 1,500 people think that you should do it. We're going to talk about how the Bible said to do it. And the Bible is right. The Bible is right. I don't care what generation we live in, the Word of God is true. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to debate. I don't even like that. It doesn't even make sense. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just know the Bible is true. The Bible is right. Live according to it. You'll live a blessed life. And America will have revival again. Amen. And so, that being said, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. Have you ever read that before? Tonight in our Bible study, we're going to talk about... Whoa, we're going to talk about an eclipse. Amen. We're figuring all this out, but we got $50,000 in this system, and we're going to learn how to use it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're not going to just get by, but we're going to express everything that it can possibly do. And I asked the guys, I said, give us fire. Because that's what fell on the day of Pentecost. And I said, when you give us fire, keep it up there. Hopefully the sheetrock won't burn. And we're going to keep the title up there, and we're going to keep that verse of Scripture up there. Amen. Because it's the new birth experience that we want to learn about tonight. Amen. Where the Word of God said, Peter said unto them. Now, who is this man called Peter? He was an apostle of Jesus Christ, taught firsthand by Jesus Christ what needed to be preached and taught by the church. From then until the rapture takes place. And this is what he told him to preach. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's not me, that's the Word of God. Somebody say, that's right. All right, so we're going to leave that there. And you're going to say, Lord, bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you're seated just now. Aren't you glad to be in the house of God? Praise the Lord. Should have brought marshmallows. Amen. There is no study in the Word of God that is more to the bottom line than that of Bible salvation and redemption. There may be many things we may not fully grasp in the Word of God. Amen. There's post, pre, during, after, somewhere between. I don't care. I really don't care. It's going to be what it's going to be. Amen. This rapture, this revelation, this eight-headed dragon thing and all of that. Amen. We can do our best, and we will. I promise you that. Amen. I'm going to answer for you. And so I know I'm making light of it right now, but I just want you to understand there is nothing in the Word of God that is more important for us to comprehend and understand than biblical redemption and Bible salvation. Amen. And so there are some subjects that we must grasp. And this is it. Amen. So let's begin with some sort of a premise. Amen. I'm teaching out of a notebook tonight. And it's not one I picked up at the bookstore. It's one I actually wrote. So if I wrote it, I can preach out of it. Hallelujah. But don't even let me say I wrote it, because 90% of it is scripture. And that was written by men that were inspired of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And so the book of Romans, write it down. Romans 5 and 8 lets us know that we were sinners. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we were sinners. Amen. Now notice Jesus' comment. Amen. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Amen. And so Mark 2 and 17 is telling us about the subject of repentance. His message to sinners was repentance. Somebody say repentance. Amen. Somebody say, I heard the word repentance. Because you do not hear that in secular religious realms anymore. You don't hear about repentance when it is a biblical doctrine. In order to be born again, we must repent. Listen to Jesus again in Luke 24, verses 45 through 47, where the Word of God says, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached, how? In his name, among the nations, plural, all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, there were two things that would be preached: repentance and remission of sins. How? Well, number one, it will be preached in his name. Somebody give me the name of the Lord. Say it again. Say it again. I want you to say it, amen, because every time you do, you give the devil a nervous breakdown. And it's about time we gave him one. He's given us enough. Amen. So we're talking about how it is to be preached. And then it told us where it's going to be preached, that it would begin in Jerusalem. Now listen to me and listen carefully. It said it would begin in Jerusalem. Now, there are those that will teach that there was a day of the apostolic doctrine. There was a day of the apostles' message. But that day is no longer. Don't you even listen to that. He said, he's Christ yesterday, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. His word doesn't change. Truth doesn't change because you want to change it. Amen. And so it began in his name, and then it began to be preached in Jerusalem. It didn't say that the Holy Ghost fell and they spoke in tongues at Jerusalem and then that was it. The Word of God said beginning in Jerusalem. That's a big issue. If you haven't faced that issue, you will in the future. It began in Jerusalem. That means it started in Jerusalem and it's going to go into every nation in the world. Praise God. God demanded repentance of mankind. He didn't ask for it. He didn't recommend it. He demanded repentance for mankind. Repentance means the act of turning about and about face from sin to God. Matthew 3 and 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, it is an act, a physical act. Amen. When you repent, it is something you do physically. Matthew 4 and 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he said, repent. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's telling us to repent because the kingdom of heaven is coming, and you're not going to make it in there if you don't repent. Somebody would say, that's awful hard. I believe you're a hater. Really? I don't think so. I think that I've got a burden and a passion for people to repent so they can make it into the kingdom of God. I'm not here to just fill this church up with people. And I'm not here to fill offering pans as such. But I am here to fill this house with people that are prepared for the kingdom of God. Repentance prepares our heart to do what? Repentance prepares our heart to be obedient to the scripture and to the word of God. Amen. Am I doing okay? Thank you. Many have assumed that repentance in itself is the new birth experience. It is said that if we, quote unquote, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you'll read in the Word of God that the devil himself believes in the Word of God and trembles about it. Now I have a question for you. Is he saved? No, he's not saved. Amen. And so, this is not, when you believe in Jesus Christ, this is not the completion of the new birth experience. Let's examine this idea. I don't want to just leave it there. Amen. But let's examine it for a few moments tonight. First of all, it's true that believing on the Lord Jesus is the first step towards salvation. But if you don't believe there are other steps to make it to the kingdom of God, then you're deceived. It takes so much more than just simply believing. Amen. As Paul told the Philippian jailer, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's Acts chapter 16 and verse number 31. Why is this true? That answer is found in Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Not just believe in him one time, but after you believe in him, you are diligently, day to day, seeking him. It's a divine continuum. Amen. So let's look at the issue even a little closer tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse number 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So those that call upon the name shall be saved because they're going to diligently seek him and learn how to do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? The Word of God. When we are faithful doing the Word of God, that's when we'll see the kingdom of God. Amen. And so we're looking at this thing kind of deep here tonight. Jesus is very clear that church attendance and simple, easy believism is not the new birth experience. But he said, he that doeth the will of my Father. Since there is a God, then there has to be a truth. Am I correct? Because there is a devil, and so there must be a lie. Is that right? So since there is a God and there is truth, there is a devil and there is a lie, wouldn't it behoove us to go into the Word of God and know what the truth is away and apart from the lies? Amen. So it's our responsibility to diligently seek for that truth. Amen. There was a church in the book of Revelation that was reprimanded because it was lazy. And it said, I will pull your candlestick. That means you can't go to the kingdom of God if you don't get out of your laziness, because they were too lazy to seek the truth. They were too lazy for the word of God. Therefore, they were not receiving with diligence what they needed from God as a day-to-day experience. Amen. So after repentance, the next step of obedience is water baptism. Praise God. Water baptism. We understand tonight that we need to repent of our sins. We understand tonight that we must lay them at the altar. Amen. Paul said, I die daily. And it's not just a one-trip affair to repent of our sins, but it is a living day-to-day exercise. Amen. So after repentance is water baptism. I want to give you some typology. I want to show you how the Old Testament prepared us for the plan of salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Preachers want to preach how the water destroyed. But I'm preaching tonight how that the water saved. And the Lord was preparing us for water baptism in the New Testament, telling us, amen, I'm telling you, the whole world was saved by water at the flood. Because Noah's ark floated. What was the ark? His obedience to God. His obedience to God's command caused the whole world to be saved by water. It wasn't but eight souls. I understand probably thousands of people lost their lives that day. But what does the New Testament even tell us? Many are called, but only a few are chosen. One preacher preached, there's a whole lot of us thawed, but only a few of us are frozen. I'm just simply saying here tonight, we need to comprehend, understand, and fall in obedience to the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. This isn't classical. This isn't antique. This isn't something that my daddy preached. I wish to God he did preach it. This isn't something my family believed in. I wish to God my family was in a church. Amen. But they're not. This is something God gave me from the Word of God. And I'm preaching it. Amen. Because it is the Word of God. I don't have that lineage. I don't have that backing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You don't believe something just because you were born Baptist. You don't believe something just because you were born Pentecostal. You don't believe something just because you were born Methodist or Lutheran. You believe something because it is in the Word of God. Please understand that. Please come to grips with that. Please comprehend that and be shaken from center to circumference. Be shaken to the marrow of your bone, because this is doctrine. This is truth. This is the Word of God. And you say, oh yeah, according to what you say. No, according to what I'm reading from the Word of God and you're hearing tonight. Amen. Am I right? Praise God. Amen. It's true. It's true. Praise the Lord. And so he said, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism. You hearing me? Are you hearing me? Amen. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also, everybody shout, now. It saves us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of God, of a good conscience toward God. In other words, obeying God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at the tabernacle in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 30, verses 18 through 21. Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. That's where you're going to wash. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. Thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water. Amen. Here's what it says, that they die not. Ladies and gentlemen, in the New Testament, we wash in the water so that we don't die to our consciousness toward God, so that we don't miss the kingdom of God, so that we go up in the rapture. When they go into the tabernacle, they shall wash with water that they shall not die. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands, their feet, that they die not. He said it twice in the same scripture verses. And it shall be a statute forever, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Water baptism has two distinct meanings. I want you to get this tonight. Number one, it means to wash. It is a washing. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? In other words, why wait? Don't wait. Arise and be baptized. Because the Bible said, wash away your sins. And it said, calling on the name of the Lord. So the Word of God has told us again to be baptized, to wash away our sins, and to call on the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? It's not God. It's not Lord. What is the name of the Lord? Somebody shout it. It's not Father. It's not Son. Absolutely not. Those are what he was. Amen. But his name is Jesus. That's the name of the Lord. And so the Bible has told us here, amen, to rise up in Acts 22 and 16 and wash away your sins. And then secondly, baptism is a burial. It is a spiritual burial. Romans 6 and 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise God. Amen. So it's a washing and it's a burial. It's important and it's doctrine. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? You say, I've been baptized. Were you baptized in Jesus' name? Did they call on the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins? If not, I encourage you and challenge you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Amen. Why? Because it's biblical. It's the Word of God. If somebody tells you it's not important, you tell them to show you in the Bible where it says it's not important. Tell them to show you in the scripture where it is, it does not matter. Tell them to show you in the scripture where you don't have to. It is not in there, ladies and gentlemen, but the Word of God does say to be baptized for the remission of your sins, the washing away of your sins. Amen. Let me give you some verses reflective on the fulfillment of the command in the early church. Amen. Here it is. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Two very separate and distinct experiences. Somebody said, just repeat after me. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Yes, you've repented. That's baptism. You got the Holy. I don't even get that. How can they thwart that and warp that and twist that and try to make a whole world believe that? Yes, we must believe the Lord to be saved. Because if you don't believe him, you're not going to obey him. You're not going to obey anybody you don't believe in. And you're not going to believe in anybody that you won't obey. And so if you're saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, then it's time to obey him. Right? Amen. And then Acts 10 and 48, We're at chapter 10, verse number 48, where the word of God said, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they prayed for him to tarry there certain days. Amen. And then in Acts chapter 19, verse number 5, amen, the word of God says, when they heard this, they were baptized, how? In the name of the Lord Jesus. How was the early church baptized? The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, meaning to immerse or soak. Praise God. John chapter 3, verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salem because there was much water there. Amen. This is Lexington. It's close to Winston-Salem. So let's get baptized. Boy, that was a poor joke. And they came and they were baptized. Listen, we've got to be obedient to the scripture. Am I right? Amen. These verses were not put in the word of God for our amusement. They were not put in the word of God for us to say, well, I like that one. I don't like that one. I will. I won't. No. Matthew 3:16. If you want to believe in a good 3:16, there's you another one. Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. He was baptized for our example. Acts 8, chapter 38 and 39, or through 39. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him, and when they were come up out, everybody say, out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So that leads us. They went down into the water. They come up out of the water. We know that they took them under the water. We know that baptism represents being buried with Christ. Amen. What about sprinkling? If sprinkling is baptism, please don't sprinkle me with dirt when you bury me. But put me under. If baptism is a form of burial, when you baptize me, put me under. Don't sprinkle me. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not being mean about this. I'm not being facetious. I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm trying to declare the whole truth of the Word of God. Sprinkling babies and sprinkling adults and sprinkling all this. Sprinkling is nowhere in the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. It is not in there. We simply do not find it in the scripture. Sprinkling, pouring, or infant baptism cannot be found. We baptize children when their parents have explained to them and they understand what they are doing and why they are doing it. Because we don't want baptism to be some kind of religious little ritual. We want baptism to be an experience that you will never forget the rest of your life. Amen. Praise God. What formula was used? The birth of the church in the second chapter of Acts made John's baptism obsolete. It was updated when a name was added to it. Praise God. Amen. John's disciples were rebaptized in the name of Jesus. He baptized them unto repentance. But when that which was greater has come, and he left us the New Testament, we were baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. The greatest legacy the Lord left to his bride, or the church, the greatest legacy he left the church was his name. We are the bride of Christ. And when you marry the bride, you take on his name. I want to know right now if there's anybody proud to carry the name of Jesus. Oh, let's praise him right now. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other baptismal mode was practiced in Scripture after the forming of the church. Not one other method was ever used after forming the New Testament church. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Understand, Acts 10:48. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Amen. And then Acts 19, they heard this and they did it. They had to do it. Praise God. Look at Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. He said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. He that believeth. Mark 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What does it mean then if I just believe and I'm not baptized? Or if I'm baptized and I don't believe? It must mean I'm not saved. Those are not harsh words, but those are challenging words to make us look into the Scripture to see what must I do to be saved. Amen. Praise God. Galatians 3, 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You want to put Him on? Then be baptized in His name. Praise God. Do you believe in Jesus? Then surely you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, because you put on Christ at baptism. Acts 2 and 41, then they that gladly received His word, when they received His word, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 verse 41, that they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's a whole lot of baptism going on. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 5, what does the Scripture say? Amen. Calm your minds and understand there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Isn't that easier? What about Matthew 28, 19? Look at what it says. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28, 19 was obeyed in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, right there in that Scripture. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are titles. They are not names. It's simple, but it's been used 1,000,000,000 times. But you're a daughter or you're a son. Put daughter, put son, put father, put mother on your check and try to get it cashed. But if you put your name, it goes through. Many simply repeat the Lord's command found in Matthew 28, 19 instead of obeying it. Matthew 28, 19 was not for us to repeat. It was for us to obey. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not a name. And so we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Baptizing using a threefold formula was not practiced, and it was not taught by the disciples of Jesus Christ. What is the name of the Father? Are you ready for this? Listen to me. What is the name of the Father? John 5, 43. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and you received me not. If another shall come in his own name, you'll receive him. Okay, what is the name of the Son? John 20 and 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Amen. What is the name of the Holy Ghost? John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost is not a name. It is a title. It's the same as saying the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God in the church today. This brings us to one of the most beautiful revelations of the Bible. One of the most profound, one of the most earth-shattering and foundational doctrines of the Word of God. The message of who Jesus really is. Amen. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is simply Jesus. The disciples never had a single conflict over baptism in the New Testament, not one. Why? Because they understood the singleness or oneness of God. Look at this, John 14, 10 and 11. You liking the scripture? Amen. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. John 10 and 30. I and my Father are one. John 14, 8 through 11. John 14, 8 through 11. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It will make us so happy, it will satisfy us if you'll just show us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou? What are you saying? Show us the Father for. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Wow. John 14, 15 through 20 tells us tonight, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. In other words, the flesh will pray to the Spirit, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. In other words, they're looking at me, but they don't see who I am. Neither do they know him. They're looking at me, but they don't know who I am. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you. He's standing right here in front of you and shall be in you in the future as the Holy Ghost is going to be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. So Jesus has gone away and has come back in the form of the Holy Ghost. Wow. Praise God. And so it is. Praise the Lord. These things have I spoken unto you in John 14, 25 through 27. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost from the Father, will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you're ready for the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Receive it right now in Jesus' name. Man, somebody said, you don't need to go to Landmark. That preacher's got a handkerchief, and if he shakes it over you, you start speaking a crazy language. They go, if that was true, I've always said, I would have a bed sheet up here. I want everybody to have the Holy Ghost. Everybody ought to feel the joy we feel around here every Sunday. Amen. Joel chapter 2 verse 28 speaks, and he said, it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Amen. And then it happened for the first time Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Are you ready for this? Here's the word of God. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues. It was like as a fire that sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. I'm sorry, Mr. Preacher Man. That Holy Ghost is still being poured out today. That Spirit of God is still being poured out today. That anointing is still being poured out today. Amen. Most every week here at Landmark. Amen. If you've never seen anybody filled with the Holy Ghost begin to speak in tongues, you need to be at Landmark, because almost every week there's several people that will receive the Holy Ghost. Beautiful experience. Absolutely awesome experience to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus prophesied it in John 7, 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believe on him should receive. Did you catch that? You see, they believed on him, but they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. They hadn't received the Spirit yet. So you don't just receive the Spirit because you believe on Jesus Christ. It's a separate experience. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. And so you don't receive the Holy Ghost automatically when you believe. It's a separate but a very dynamic experience that's part of the new birth. Now, I'm coming to a close, but is it that important? Is all of this that important? Is the Holy Ghost necessary for salvation? Well, look at this. Ephesians 1:13. Now, this is not what my grandma told me. And this is not what my great-grandpa said. This is not what my daddy and my mother said. This is what the Word says. Okay, you're asking me if it's necessary. And I'm going to give you Word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Acts 2 Holy Ghost experience is part of that new birth promise. Some ask honestly, but won't church attendance and being a good person save me? All right, let's look at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. I love Girl Scout cookies, but Girl Scouts selling cookies won't save Girl Scouts. Amen. I love being a blessing to people and helping people and being kind. I love being nice. Amen. These are just some of the attributes that come to you after the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so Acts 10, verses 1 through 4, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man. All right? Did you catch that? He's a devout man. He's one that feared God with all of his house. So he fears God. That's honorable. He gave much alms to the people. He blessed the poor is what that means. That's honorable. He prayed to God always. Wow. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. He was led to full salvation by the Apostle Peter, because the Apostle Peter came to his home and preached what I'm preaching to you tonight. And while he preached it, the Holy Ghost fell, and Cornelius and his whole house received the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. And then Simon Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. If is the biggest word in the universe. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ, you have a hunger and you have a thirst to be obedient to him. Let's stand. Amen. The point is, being devout doesn't save you. Praying every day is not salvation. It's a result. We need to update our spirituality and seek. And the Bible said we shall find. The single common sign of baptism of the Holy Ghost was evidenced by speaking in tongues. We do not pray for people to speak in tongues. We pray for people to receive the Holy Ghost. And when they do, tongues follows as evidence. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. The old prophet told us it was coming. I so want to see Isaiah. He was so cool. Isaiah, tell us again. He said in Isaiah 28 and 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people." Tongues was the initial and immediate evidence of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and 4, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, all mention tongues as the sign when receiving the Holy Ghost. And then Acts chapter 2 and verse 39 was written for this world in my generation. When it said, "For the promise is unto you, the promise is to your children, the promise is to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Jesus' words were here, "Except you be born again." Woo! I want us to come together around the altar, and I want us to pray that this affects somebody in your life this week. I want us to pray that this does something in the heart of somebody that you share this with. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you'll take it and share it and give it, somebody will repent. Somebody will be baptized. Somebody will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The anointing is here to break the yoke. And repentance is real. Baptism is real. The Holy Ghost is real. Holiness is real. And there are those that hunger for the things of God because they believe in Jesus as their Savior and they want Him to save them.
The fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn. The fire on my altar never burn. Make me a house of bread. May the fire on my altar never burn out.
Fire
on my altar, never burn out.
Fire
on my altar, never burn out. Make me a house of bread.
Make me
fire on my altar, never burn out.
Hallelujah.
Fire on my altar, never burn out.
Holy Ghost,
never burn out.
Wonderful.
Make me a house of bread.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Fire on my altar, never burn out.
And then the word of God spoke. And then the word of God spoke. There shall be healings. There shall be signs. There shall be wonders. And the anointing will break the yoke. And the authority of the Holy Ghost will raise them up. And the word of God will become valid. And the word of God will become true. It's right. It's right. It's pure. It's holy. It's glorious. It's magnificent. It's wonderful. Oh, yeah.
Lord, make me a house.
Yeah.
Make me a house.
Yeah. Never.
The fire on my altar never burn out.
Never, never, never.
The fire on my altar never burn out.
My God.
Make me a house of bread.
My God, my God, my God.
The fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of bread.
Yeah.
The fire on my altar. burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
Day and night and night and day.
Hallelujah.